Welcome to Kingdom Perspective Broadcast, the teaching ministry of Dr. David Ogaga. We believe that this message is going to open up the seals and cause you to have a deeper revelation into the Word of God that will make you see beyond the letters in the Word. Here is Dr. David.
We bless and give you all the glory, the adoration. We magnify you because you are faithful. We thank you at this hour, God, for your word, which is life and spirit. And we're asking God of glory that even if you send forth your word according to your word, the Bible says you send forth your word and heal them. We're demanding God that everyone that will listen to us right now, let them receive healing in their spirit, in their soul, and even in their physical body. Let transformation come forth, O Lord, by reason of your word as it work effectually in everyone listening to this broadcast. In Jesus' name, amen. Hallelujah. All right. So I have to struggle to get out of the previous study that we're doing on, the comfort of the scriptures. So I'm starting a new series, which is called The Power of Sight. The Power of Sight. And I want you to take this very seriously. It's something that is going to bring transformation to the whole of your life. If you can go with it, if you can stay with it, and meditate on what I'm about to share with you, the power of life. Our text is going to be Genesis 3, from verse 1 to 6. Verse 1 to 6, and perhaps verse 7. So let us quickly take a look at this. Genesis chapter 3, verse number 1. Now the serpent was more subtle than every beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, yea, had God said, you shall not eat of every tree of the garden? Had God said, and I watched that. Bible said the serpent was more subtle than every beast of the field. Now, and we do know that the serpent did the same thing as the dragon, same as the devil. Let me just put this in. This is where it is absolutely wrong for anybody to teach that a serpent was an angel. You know how they say that? They say the serpent or the angel Lucifer was once an angel, but the Bible never said that. The Bible says it's a beast. Is that okay? It's a wrong theory and wrong doctrine to say Lucifer was an angel, fought with God, thrown down from heaven. It's all wrong. Don't believe that. It's a wrong doctrine. It's a wrong theory. There's only one place in the whole Bible where the word Lucifer is used. We've dealt with that here, isn't it? Which is Isaiah 14. And speaks of the king of Babylon. Have nothing to do with an angel. Wrong theory. You can see it here. The serpent was more subtle than every beast. Serpent, beast. That's all. Not an angel. Okay. Let's move on. Verse 2. And the woman said unto the serpent, we may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden. But the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God has said, ye shall not eat of it. Neither shall ye touch it, lest ye die. And the serpent said unto the woman, now I want you to take note of that verse 3, lest ye die. The serpent said unto the woman, ye shall not surely die. For God had known that in the day that you eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened, and ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. And in verse 6, the Bible says, and when the woman saw that the tree was good, now this is the key, I want you to take note of that. When the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof and did eat, and gave also unto her husband with her. Women, mind what you give to your husband. And he did eat also. We can't refuse because you are wise. So you better be careful what you give to us. Hallelujah. Or you destroy the whole system. Amen. Sister Philo is smiling. Thank you. That's good. Okay, verse 7. And the eyes of them both were open, and they knew that they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves apron. Now, the key point I want you to see here is verse number 6. Go back to verse number 6. Verse 7 is a response to what happened in verse number 6. And when the woman saw that a tree was good for food, remember I'm talking of the power of sight. Amen. You can agree with me that it's not the first time they saw the tree of knowledge of good and evil. Is that okay? This is not the first time. The tree have always been there. There are several trees in the garden. They've been seeing all of those trees right there in the garden. So what do you mean when the woman saw? I mean, hallelujah. Get it right. There have always been this tree, the garden, I mean, the tree of life have been there, the tree of knowledge of good and evil have been there. They've always been there. It's not the first time they were seeing the tree. So what does it mean when the woman saw? A revelation of the power of that tree was made known to the woman. For the very first time, she could see how efficacious the tree was. Hallelujah. The word saw in the Hebrew actually speaks of raw. It means advise self, to advise self, to appear. What is close? Appearing. You advise self. It means to approve. It means to behold. It means to consider. I'm still defining the word so. It means to design. The spirit of designment. It means to make happy. It means to enjoy. But practically, it means to have experience. To gaze, to take in, joyfully respect, vision. I want you to take two things there primarily. What's the first thing I want you to take? To experience. Number two, vision. Now, it simply means what you don't see, you can't experience. And it takes vision for you to see very clearly what is even around you. Hallelujah. Are you following me? What you see about life is what you experience. Praise the Lord. What you see about life becomes your experience. Let me show you another scripture while I expand on this. John 3 verse 3. John 3 verse 3. Jesus answered and said unto Nicodemus, verily, verily, or truly, truly, I say unto thee, except a man be born again from above, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Now, the kingdom is not a physical thing. So I tell you to see, it doesn't mean you have to see something in a physical dimension. The kingdom is righteousness, the kingdom is peace, and the kingdom is joy. Romans 14, 17. So when he says, except you are born from above, you cannot see, meaning you can't experience what the kingdom is. So to see equals to experience. Now the woman saw, and now they experienced the power of that tree for the very first time. It has already been there. We're going to talk about response later. But if you look at verse 7, the Bible says, and they saw that they were naked. The very first time. Now, the power of that tree caused them to come into outward. I mean, it drove them from the spirit to the natural. And the Bible said they were ashamed. They saw fig leaf. So there's a natural response that you have when you see. One of the reasons you don't do what you're supposed to do is because you have not seen it. Hallelujah. We're talking about giving this morning. Why do you think people don't give? Because they don't see what would you produce. They don't see the after effect of giving. They don't see it. So you see, you have to see to experience. And what I'm communicating to you now is, you have to even see what I'm saying. Oh, come on. For you to respond to it, your response is determined by your experience or what you've seen. They saw the tree for the first time. That is to say, they got to know how powerful the tree is, what the tree can make you become. And it produces the right change. And so the natural response to their seeing was they saw fig leaves. So when you see, you respond. So it means the way you respond to life is directly connected to what you are seeing. Hallelujah. Except a man be born from above, he cannot see the kingdom. No matter how you teach the kingdom to people, until they see it, they can experience it. So come on, understand it. This kingdom is going to be coming. But Jesus said, no, it's right here. Paul said, no, it's right here. But men can experience the kingdom. Why? Because they can't see the kingdom. There's no revelation as to what the kingdom is. You may be in church and you don't get the right experience you're supposed to be having. Why? Because you haven't seen it. You haven't seen what the church can produce. And if you see what you can get in being in church within the body of Christ, nobody pushes you to be in service. Why? Because you've seen it. So, one of the major problems we have in life is because we are not seeing. For the most part, we are all blind to so many things. Hallelujah. Are we here? Now watch that. When they saw the tree, they became naked. That is to say, you have to see to be defiled. They were corrupted from the very nature they were having before because somebody saw. Come on, is anybody understand what I'm talking about here? They became naked. They saw for the first time they became naked. Why? Because they experienced the tree of knowledge of good and evil. So you have to see to be defiled, just like you have to see to be alive. They died. Don't you know that? The day you eat of this tree, you shall surely die. They died to the life of God and alive to the natural. Why? Because they saw for the first time. So, you can't be corrupted until you see. You need to get what I'm saying there. You know, when Jesus talked about John 3, verse 3 there, the word see there is the word Edo, which means to see, by implication, in the perfect tense only, to know, to be aware of, to behold. Let me stop there. To know, to be aware of. That means the kingdom is here, but you are not aware of it. Why? Because you are not born from above. Therefore, you can't experience what the kingdom carries, which is the righteousness of God, the peace of God, and the joy from the Holy Spirit. You can't experience it. Why? Because you are not aware of it. Are you here? Hallelujah. Read with me 1 Peter 1 verse 23. To see is to perceive, is to be sure, is to understand. You got to understand what the kingdom really is. 1 Peter 1 23. Being born again, watch it. What did Jesus tell Nicodemus? You must be born from above. Be born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible seed. By what? The word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. I mean, there is something the word of God produces in your life. There's a transformation that takes place within your being by reason of the word. If you can see the word, if you can understand the word, transformation takes place in your life. There'll be a natural response. Hallelujah. Are you getting this? Amen. Go again with me. John chapter 5, chapter, what verse is this? Let me say, John 5. Go with me to John chapter 5. Look at verse 24. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my words and believeth on him that sent me had everlasting life and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life. Did you get that? It means you have to understand the word. What? Because it takes words to communicate the power of the tree to the woman. Now, Jesus is really trying to reverse what the woman did. And he's using the same process. I mean, what the serpent did. He's using the same process because the serpent communicated. He used words and gave words to the woman. And the woman saw. Now, Jesus reversing it. If only you can take heed to what I'm saying, by implication, if you can understand the words that I'm bringing forth, it takes you from the death of Adam and Eve into life, the Zoe life of God. So your transformation from the point of death in Adam is what? The word of God, with his seed that is planted in you. But you have to understand the word. Hallelujah. Everything about life is hinged on this simple principle I'm sharing with you. What have you seen about your family? That's the problem. Are you there with me? Have you seen anything in your family? Do you have any hope? I mean, are you convinced about your family? Do you understand what God actually structured your family for? Until you see, you cannot have the natural response that is supposed to be. You got a business. What do you say in your business? Think about that. Hallelujah. Jesus spoke the same thing in that same John chapter 5. It's very, very same to you. He that believeth in me shall not see death. Have you read that in your Bible? Shall not see death. If you believe in me, you shall not see. That means you have to see death to experience it. You have to, oh, come on. You need to get what I'm saying here. Adam and Eve saw and they died to the life of God. You can only see to die to the life of God. In other words, to experience the death that Adam and Eve experienced, you must also see. Are you following what I'm saying now? Now, if you also see the word of God, what Jesus is saying, you move from that death realm of Adam into what? Into life. So your life is transformed based on what you see. And what does it mean to see? To have an understanding. To experience. Hallelujah. Next week, maybe we're going to touch that. Remember, in Matthew 13, reading from 10 to 15, Jesus made a statement, your ears, your eyes are blind, let them see, so that I do what? I heal them. So healing comes through seeing. We're going to touch that next week. Are you there with me? Whatever experience you have in a life is based on what you've seen. That would mean, even if you fail in life, because that's what you see. So, you see failure to experience failure. Oh, come on. You need to get it. That is why you must mind who you associate with. The man that cannot talk you into a life is not supposed to be your friend. You have to understand what the Bible says, evil communication corrupt good manners. Praise God. It takes words to create life. It takes sight to understand what words are. Don't forget what I'm saying. The tree has always been there. They've been walking around the tree without touching it, without thinking anything about it. Just a normal tree. Until the devil came and said, okay, this thing you're looking at here, this is what it's going to do for you. And they responded by partaking of it. Is that okay? Hallelujah. So, your life, I can assure you, is directly connected to what you are hearing. Either from friends, either from family, whatever. Anything you are hearing has impact in your life because that's what you are seeing. And what you see is what you experience. Hallelujah. So you have to see death to experience death. You know, some of you, when you have issues that relate to health, all your dream is, this sickness is going to kill me. Now that's what you're seeing. So what's the next thing that happened? You're going to die. Because you're sowing corruption into your system. Because that's what you're seeing. That's your understanding. More especially if the medical world have to tell you the dangerous situation you are in because of the disease or sickness that you're carrying. Once they blow it up, it comes to the point where nothing can happen anymore. It is finished. But there is no sickness or disease that God cannot heal. So you must mind what you hear. Because the thing you hear, whenever you see. Are you with me? Anytime I read this passage, I think deeply. That is why I can't listen to every minister. It's not possible. The one that does not feed my spirit, I don't take it. Practically impossible. Are you listening to me? Praise the living God. I did a post in the night. You know, there's this thing going on. I said, there was a pre-Adamic life. There was a life. There was a war between Genesis 1 and 2. There was one war, and Satan corrupted that war, so God destroyed it and decided to form another war from verse 3. Wrong. Absolutely wrong. Go to my page. I fully explained it. Heaven and earth were thoughts in God's mind. Hallelujah. Verse 2, the thoughts have not taken shape without form and void. Verse 3, life came into those things that are in his mind. And life came into being. Amen. If you are a carpenter, for instance, you make use of wood. Now, you're thinking, assuming this is wood, you want to make this pulpit. That's a thought in your mind. But it hasn't taken shape. until you create a table with the wood in a half shape, which you can call a table or a chair or a bench. The finished product is what the shape is. The thought is void and lifeless. So it's not as if there was one world that was created and the Satan. Can you even imagine that? How could Satan, the creature of God, be more powerful than the creator? What a blasphemy. Hallelujah. You must mind who you listen to. You must mind the messages you listen to. Because when information comes to you, your eyes will open to those things. It could be negative or positive. And if it is negative, you are going to experience the negative information. The impact of those negative information will begin to manifest in your life. So it's not everybody you listen to. If the woman hadn't listened to the serpent, they wouldn't have partaken of the tree. Am I correct? Yeah. So neighbors are not good neighbors. The serpent was a neighbor, but not a good one. Anything that drags you down from reality of who God has designed you for, no, you are not supposed to listen to it. It takes you back. Hallelujah. Do you know, a lot of people paint their back time, their past life, more than the present, more than the future. Oh, when I was this. Oh, when I was that. Oh, when I was that. Oh, because of that. Oh, my father told me. Oh, my mother told me. Mm-mm. Your life is not in those things and those failures. You got to look ahead. Paul said, forgetting the past and looking forward to the future. You must mind who communicate with you and to you. So you have to sit there to be able to die. And how many of you want to die? Praise God. Nobody wants to die. Hallelujah. Amen. Come on. Are you with me? No, there are some things we don't tie with. What I'm sharing with you, listen. Transformation comes to your life based on what you know, what you see, what you understand about life. Hallelujah. Now, it takes a sin to die or not to die. Adam and Eve helped someone and they saw death. Evil communication, like I said, does what? Corrupt good manners. Oh, come on. Proverbs chapter 8 verse 21. Help me with that. Hallelujah. Proverbs 8 verse 21. Sorry, Proverbs 18, please. Proverbs 18, verse 21. Death and life are where? In the power of the tongue. And they that love it shall eat the fruit thereof. Death and life are in the power of the tongue. Now remember, the Bible says, from the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. So what you've heard that is now settled in your heart is what you keep confessing. Now God is giving you an option. It's either you're confessing life or you're confessing death. And any one of them you confess, you experience. And it's all based on communication. So if I have to be preaching to you always about death, the glory of death, the beauty of death, I'm sowing the seed of death in your system. And we should be getting ready every week to do one funeral. It's as powerful as that. That's why you must mind who you listen to. Go to congregations that teach about demons and generational causes. What life do you think they are experiencing? That's communication. Jesus speaks about life. He doesn't talk about death. There is no much emphasis of demons in the message of Jesus as compared to life and the kingdom of God. But what is our emphasis today? Demons and death. witches and wizards. Why do we think we will not have those spirits manifest in the church? Because we are sowing seed into the people's life, and they have to experience it. Every seed you sow must be experienced. I don't know if you're getting this. Praise the Lord. Death and life are in the power of this tongue. So you see, sight and the mouth, they work together. What you see is what you pronounce and confess. Once Eve saw the power of the tree, she communicated the same from her mouth unto the husband. And what's the next thing that happened? Both of them died. They experienced the effect of the communication. Life and death are the power of the tongue. What do you confess about your life? What do you confess about your business? What do you confess about your home? What do you confess about your husband and your children? What is your confession? It's all based on the seed that is in your life. Praise the Lord. I once told you this story. Some years back, that in my family, my dad, there were three. None of them had a building block house. They were all living in mud houses. Right? And when I was working, I decided I'm going to build my dad a block house. In a vision, I had a revelation. Somebody walked to me and he said, "Don't you know in this family, people don't build block houses?" It was real. And I said, "Oh, is all the fancy?" I said, "Okay, I'm going to break it." Hallelujah. I woke up and I went to collect loan. I didn't have the money. I got angry because of that statement. I got angry. I went to get a loan. I bought cement, bought sand, start molding. The voice never came back again. I finished the building. My dad backed into it. The voice never came back again. So I broke that. It's not everything that comes to you that you receive. I would have cowed down because the voice came. And I looked at my dad, looked at the senior brother, the two guys ahead of them. None of them had a blockhouse. They all live in mud houses. So mud houses were not a generational cause, isn't it? And I said, "No, that cannot be my lot." I broke it. Guess what? When we laid the foundation, one of my uncle came and said, "You don't just lay foundation. You have to kill goat. You have to, you understand, kill goat or bring chicken. They have to pour blood, whatever." I said, "No, Jesus already poured the blood. Dig this place now, and I'm laying the foundation myself." I laid the foundation. I broke it. You can't receive every message and walk with it. It will kill you. You will experience what you hear, because that's what you are seeing. So if all that you can see in your life is dead, what is the next thing? You're going to experience death. Nobody can get you out of it. That's why I preached one message some time ago. Deliverance is not freedom. Why did I say that? Children of Israel were delivered from Egypt, but they were not free. How many of you remember that? Their mind was still in Egypt. Oh, glory. So freedom comes in your mind and not in deliverance. Praise God. Deliverance is not freedom. You can go through all the deliverances you want to get through. That doesn't make you free until your mind is free. And whom the Son of Man set free is free indeed. Where is the freedom coming from? In your mind. If you look at your business, I can't make more progress than this. That's where you're going to be. It has nothing to do with any devil. It just has to do with what you have received. Is the effect of the seed that you have received. That's what you see. What do you see? This business cannot go beyond this. Hallelujah. I say hallelujah. So Genesis 3 verse number 7. What did he say here? "And the eyes of them both were opened, and they knew that they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves aprons." So response to life is based on what you see. Can I hear an amen? Response to life is based on what you see. Praise God. Some of you, the young ones, you can be growing up and you don't seem to know what you want to do with your life. You be associated with all kinds of people. But you see, you can grow up and say, this is what I want to be. When I look at Dr. Edisrael, this is who I want to be. I remember when he came to the fellowship, when she came to the fellowship, discussions we had, she was a deity in my word, and said, this is what I want to be. Who you want to be is who you should be. Praise the Lord. On my writing, she was teaching them in the office for me. I can't forget that. Today she's a medical doctor, practicing. This is who I want to be. She already saw herself as a medical doctor. Hallelujah. The seed has been sown into her life. The experience will surely come to be. And the best thing you think and you know you are supposed to be, that is who you are supposed to be. Tell you a story here. When I was in school, secondary, I'm very inquisitive. I don't just take everything like that. So I like asking questions. So I used to ask my math teacher a question. One Aruno. And then he was taking us mathematics and French. And I was doing so well in those subjects. Because the modern maths or whatever we're using then, I will study the chapters ahead of time. I'll get people to help me out even at home. But when I ask questions, because I was big, I started school late. Some of you started early enough. Glory to God. Thank God for your life. I started late, especially after the Civil War. We're like adults when we're in school. Amen. Hallelujah. He will come and give me a knock. Ask questions and give me a knock. I looked at this guy. I said, okay, fine. No more French, no more mathematics. So if the man is coming, I'll open the window. I'm gone. And then one day he saw me and said, listen, you are not going to have a future if you don't have mathematics. I say, you're a liar. I know where I'm going. Praise God. And when we were to register for school, I went to the principal and I said, business studies, I want to do health science, I want to do fine arts. I can take 5 subjects. The man said, we don't have this in the school. I said, but that's what I want to do. He said, but you don't have teachers for them. I said, but that's what I want to do. He said, okay, if you can recruit people that can assist you, I will enroll you. I said, enroll me, I will recruit people. I did that. I knew I was going to be a graduate. I had the best result, one of the best results in school, without teachers for 5 subjects, because I know where I was going. Without maths, my maths is F9, clear, because I didn't even sit for it. I said, maths is not going to assist me for anything. I graduated. Hallelujah. When we finish school, I'll do my postgraduate at UST there. We have all these architects, all of them coming. You know, just for the solve maths and all that. And then we're doing statistics. We're 18 students. First student that started the course, technical education. Only 2 of us passed statistics. All those who did maths, they failed. Brain, they here. You follow what I'm talking about? You can become who you want to be. No devil can stop you. Can I hear an amen? When you see, you experience it. There's power of sight. When we're graduating from school, they say we should go. First of all, they go for matrix. Is it matrix you call it? The beginning, it's matriculation, right? And then wear garment, I refuse to go. Graduation ceremony, I refuse to go. They say why? I say, 1st degree is not what I'm looking for. I am aiming at PhD. Wearing 1st degree will stop me. I'm not wearing this uniform. I never put one. If you know where you are going, you will get there. No devil can stop you. Is anybody following what I'm talking about? People say, well, things from hope. Did I not come from a home? Did I not come from a village? Did I not come from a community? Why haven't those paths taught me? They teach you wrong things because your mind is not being renewed. My father was an idol worshiper. Right until his death, my mother, the same thing. Why didn't the idol come and attack me or attack my children? Look at Maxwell, flying everywhere. Where is the idol? Rubbish. They teach you nonsense and you believe it. Praise the living God. Give me Joshua. Give me Joshua chapter 24. Look at verse 2. Look at verse 2. Joshua 24. Let me just show you something. Whew. And Joshua said unto the people, thus said the Lord God of Israel, your fathers dwelt on the other side of the flood in old time. Even Terah and the father of Abraham and the father of Nahor. And they served other gods. That means Abraham and Abraham's father, they were idol worshippers. Abraham's father and the grandfather, they were idol worshippers. You show me where Abraham went for deliverance. Show me. Once his mind was renewed, Bible says Abraham believed God and it was credited to him for what? For righteousness. Another seed was sown in the life of Abraham. When he told him, you are going to be father of many nations, he connected to another life. Mind will talk to you. Mind will you listen to. Praise the living God. Let me see if I can be running up now. Time is always stupid, eh? Hebrews 11 verse 23. We're going to stop. I'm going to give you a simple illustration of the life of Moses. Hebrews 11 23. By faith, Moses. What did I say? 23, please. Hallelujah. By faith, Moses, when he was born, was he 3 months of his parents because they saw. Everybody say they saw. They saw he was a proper child. And they were not afraid of the king's commandment. They saw he was a proper child. I don't know how to explain this. Is anybody following what I'm saying here? You get back to a child. They saw this child was a proper child. Who told them? They saw. Oh, come on. And look at that. What's the natural response? We're going to keep this child. Are you following me? Come on. What you see, you respond to it. Look at the next thing. Exodus 2 verse 2. That's where the story is taken from. Let me show you. Exodus 2 verse number 2. Some of you look at your life. You are not seeing anything. That's a problem. That's why you are stagnated. You are not seeing anything. Oh, come on. Hallelujah. Exodus 2 verse number 2. And the woman conceived and bare a son. And when she saw him, that he was a goodly child, she hid him 3 months. Oh, glory to God. When she saw, she was a goodly child. It didn't say when he saw, when she saw. Women, come on now. Who saw the tree first? The woman. Who saw the godly child? The woman. That's how powerful you are. Hallelujah. Come on, did you get that? That's why you have to wake up. Put up your antennas and get information from the Spirit. Who saw Jesus rose first from the grave? A woman. That's such a privilege that God has given to women. They only see first. I don't know. Come on. Are you here with me? Come on. Yeah, you're catching it. Hallelujah. Who saw that Jesus was a righteous person, an innocent person, the wife of, come on, are you there with me? Pilate's wife saw. Pilate didn't see. Come on, are you getting the picture there? The wife came and said, no, this night I saw. Don't do anything with this man. Don't join them. Pilate said, give me water. My wife just saw. Hallelujah! Glory to God! Watch his hand! My hair not day. Why? The wife saw. Eve saw. Adam died. Praise God. Pilate's wife saw. The man got free. You mind what you see? Okay. Who saw the angel falls about the bed of Samson? The woman. Come on. Read through the Bible. The woman came and said, honey, a man came to me and told me about the child we are going to have. And the man said, can we go back there? And he went back. The angel, I wish you can come and then appear. And they just showed up. Okay, get some food, whatever. No, tell us your name. Don't let it be an issue. Hallelujah. Name of the child, you woman, no alcohol, no strong drink, no smoking, huh? Some of you, you have to mind what you, you know, smoking, speak of talking. You talk too much. Smoke. You know what I'm talking about? Praise God. Are you listening to me? He said, when you put yourself in a consecrated mood, God will always visit you. Check through what I'm saying. Here, this woman saw that this child was going to be what? A godly child. Let me define for you what that means. The godly there is tomb or tobe. It means beautiful. It means best. It means better. This child was going to be a beautiful child, a bountiful child, and a cheerful child. Somebody which is a fair child. It's going to be favored. It speaks of that which is fine. It speaks of gladness. Hallelujah. Joyful. Kindly. Kindness. Loving. Merry. Most. Pleasure. Pressure. Prosperity. It means wealth. It means ready. It means sweet. It means welfare. Hallelujah. David's life. He said, look, I've been able to see this child is going to give wealth to his people. It's a godly person. He has the welfare of people at heart. He's gorgeous. Are you surprised that Moses finally was called by God? Are you surprised that everything the mother saw in the life of Moses showed up at the end of the day? Glory to God. You have to see beyond the natural. And I'll make you see that next week. In Mark chapter 8, Jesus healed a man. And he said, what do you see? He said, I see men as trees. And he told your eyes again, what do you see? He said, I see men just the way they are. The first sight you need is spiritual sight. Because God sees men as trees. That's why we are called the trees of righteousness. He saw in the spirit before he brought him to the natural. You got to see as God sees. Have the eyes of God. Man, who talks to you? Fellowship with angels, not demons. Fellowship with angels, not tradition. Fellowship with angels, not church. Because most of the churches, sorry to say, that we have today, they are really mystery Babylon. All they are producing is nothing but what? Debt. But God wants you to wake up. Can I hear an amen? Yeah. I need to get you to the place where you can truly see what your future holds. And you can be walking towards it, moving towards it. And then it will manifest in. Hallelujah. And you can say, I was not here yesterday, now I'm here today. Glory to God. That's what you need in life. Hallelujah. The way of the righteous, like a shining light, that shineth what? Brighter and brighter unto a perfect day. You are not meant to stagnate. You stagnated because of what you see, which is what you're experiencing. Everybody's complaining, now you are complaining. It's not supposed to be, friends. You must mind your language. You must reconfigure your mind. Be it transformed by the renewing of your mind. Thought matters a lot. And seed sown in your life produces thoughts. And the kind of thought you're thinking gives you energy to do those things that you're thinking about. Whoever you want to be, there are certain configuration of thought you must work with that will enable you to manifest. Hallelujah. So when the woman heard that this thing can make you, thought came into her mind and said, oh, is that true that we can experience, or experiment with it? And went to the husband and said, my neighbor just told me this. And you know, in the true sense of it, the Bible tells us that Adam never sinned, the woman did. Right? Good. Why? Adam had to eat so that the woman alone could not be punished for it. That's the kind of love. And so the Bible tells in Ephesians 5, Jesus gave himself to the church by the washing of water by the word, that he might present her to himself as what? A church without spot or wrinkle. So Adam said, I'm going to get you back to me. No matter what happened, I won't let you go. Hallelujah. Come on, are you following what I'm talking about here? Get this picture right, friends. Your mind is configured by what you hear. So there's power in your sight and there's power in your tongue. Because what you think is what you confess. There are seeds that are sown into your life. I've come to present to you a new way of life. Jesus said, if you can keep my commandment, you will not see death. Somebody said physical death? All of the above. I don't know. All of the above. But remember, Adam died. Amen? Okay. So move out from Adam there. I showed you a few weeks ago how Simeon was alive, because there was a promise that you must see the consolation of Israel. Why do you think you have to die like everybody's dying? You were not born the same day, so why do you want to think you want to die because they die? That is not your portion, amen? You are here to reveal certain things. You are here to manifest certain things. You are here to make certain aspect of God glorious. The Bible tells us that every instrument has its own distinct sound. I have my own sound. I have my own message. I have my own life to project to creation. Amen. That's the way it is with you. So whether people are dying around you, that's not your portion. Hallelujah. Have I helped you this morning? Come on, stand up somebody. Hallelujah. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Few minutes. Let us talk to the Father.
Thank you for listening to Dr. David Ogaga. We know you have been blessed by this station. You can share this message with your friends and loved ones. For more information, inquiries, and free downloads, please visit www.davidogaga.org. God bless you.